And welcome to No Filler, the music podcast dedicated to sharing the often overlooked hidden gems that fill the space between the singles on our favorite records. My name is Travis, got my brother Quentin with me. Last week we talked about Paul McCartney's MTV Unplugged live album. And so we thought to ourselves, you know what? We just talked about the greatest rock musician of all time and one of his live records. Why not talk about the greatest, best-selling live album of all time? And that would, of course, be Peter Frampton Comes Alive.
It's called Frampton Comes Alive.
And that would be called Frampton Comes Alive. So here's the thing, Q, about this record. This was, one of those constantly in the background of our childhood type albums, right? But I can honestly tell you that I only know the three songs that everybody else associates with this record, right?
Right.
I mean, I've never pulled it up and hit play and paid attention to it. So the ones that I'm familiar with are Show Me the Way, Baby, I Love Your Way, and Do You Feel Like We Do?
Yeah.
So, you know, that's essentially, like, to me, those songs are synonymous with Frampton. That's the beginning and the end of my Frampton knowledge. So.
Well, the thing about those three songs, like, if you've heard Peter Frampton on the radio, you've heard these versions of the song. You've heard the live version of those songs.
Yeah, it's interesting, right?
Because, like, yeah, they were all released before this live album came out. But, like, so he was in a band called Humble Pie as the guitarist before he did his own solo stuff. And when he branched off and did his own thing, I mean, he was, you know, he would make it on the charts, but he would be pretty damn low on the lists. It wasn't until this album came out that he was starting to see any kind of success as a solo artist. So I feel like a lot of it had to do with the time that it was released. So this live album was released in 1976, a solid 4 years into him, you know, getting out there, doing his own thing, touring constantly. His first full-length album as a solo artist was in 1972 with an album called Wind of Change. And yeah, there's a couple songs, actually quite a few songs on this album, Wind of Change, that he does live on Frampton Comes Alive. But yeah, he just, for whatever reason, like, you know, no one really seemed to care about him until this album came out. I'm just going to read some stats here because it's pretty ridiculous. So as of 2011, this record has gone platinum 8 times. It was voted Album of the Year by Rolling Stone in 1976. It was in the top 10 for the majority of 76 once it came out. And it was at number 1 for 10 weeks straight. And a lot of it had to do with the fact that FM radio was starting to do what's called album-oriented rock stations, you know, which were, you know, it's basically like what we think of when we think of, you know, like genre-specific FM stations.
I think our dad used that exact phrase when he was on our episode.
Yeah, he was a DJ around this time, dude. I'm sure he was playing the shit out of Frampton Comes Alive. But yeah, so
playing the shit, you know, right off of the vinyl.
Playing what?
Playing. I just like your phrase, playing the shit out of it. Sometimes I like to stop and think, man, that's a funny phrase that humans came up with. Playing the shit out of something. But anyway.
Are you really taking that shit and going somewhere with it? Or are you just taking it, you know, are you just dropping off a shit into the toilet?
You mean like, yeah, when you take a shit.
I'm going to go take a shit.
Where do you, where are you taking it?
Are you going to go take a shower? Where are you going to go? What are you doing with it?
That's okay. I mean, let's just let's get a linguistics person on here, and we'll get to the bottom of this.
Okay.
All right. So yes, all of those things you said, it is incredible. I feel like it's, I mean, to me, it's like you hear the audience. There, I mean, he was yes. able to. I mean, where was it recorded? Did he pack a stadium?
No, this is actually four different concerts.
Okay.
Yeah. So two of them were in New York in 1975. Actually, all of them were recorded in 1975. Two of them were in California, and the other two were in New York. And I don't know which track belongs to what set, you know what I mean? But to put things in perspective, one of the recordings is from a venue called the Winterland Ballroom in San Francisco in June of 75. And this was Frampton's first time as a headliner, was that show. 6 months before this album came out, he was the opening act. 6 months. You know, he wasn't headlining before this album came out, basically. Like, 1975 was his first headlining act, and that set was actually recorded and ended up on this record.
I just think it's interesting that, you know, to me, a band doesn't put a live record out until they're, you know, until they have enough, like, you know, that seems like something that doesn't happen until much later after success. You know what I mean? Like, after success happens, you put out a best of album or a live album.
Yeah, they took a gamble for sure.
Do you think it's one of those things that where it's like, this guy is just so much better live that, you know, we need to put out a live record because it'll sell better than his other stuff? Or there's so many great songs from all of his other albums that...
I mean, I don't know, because...
How many albums did he put out before this?
Wind of Change in 72, Frampton's Camel in 73, Something's Happening in 74, and then a self-titled album called Frampton that came out in 75. Okay. So already released four records. So he has,
yeah, okay. Yeah, that's just interesting. You know, it just makes you wonder, like, what the thinking was. I mean, maybe it was just one of those ways for the record label to get older songs to be on the radio again. You know what I mean? Like, if you put out a live record,
yeah,
then all of his old catalog is now new again, in a way. Because right, it's on a new record. Right.
And it's the way... So, what I love about this album, and I found a really great copy of it, probably like a Goodwill or something, a while ago. So, I've had a record copy of it for a while. So, I've listened to it all the way through quite a few times. There's something about the way that the microphones picked up the audience and, like, his reaction, you know, and his, like, little... you know, conversations with the audience in between the tracks that makes it a really special listen. Let's go ahead and play our first song, dude. Let's stop.
Yeah. Yapping. Yeah. Let's do it. This is a sidetrack episode. So let's make this.
Yeah. We're going to
short and sweet.
And we're going to cram in three songs in here because what makes Frampton so great is he's got a really great like fusion of rock and jazz. And he's kind of all over the map in the selection of these songs from these concerts. So it's a really good representation of kind of who he is as an artist. So the first song we're going to play is the first track on the record. This song is called Something's Happening.
If there was ever a musician who was an honorary member of San Francisco society, Mr. Peter Frampton. We'll be right back.
So that was the title track off of his record, Something's Happening, huh?
Yeah, so that's technically a single, but you know what? It wasn't released as a single for the Frampton Comes Alive album.
There you go.
It's fair game. I like the guitar solo in that one, and I like the Ooh Babies at the end where I faded out.
Yeah.
It's solid track.
You know, this is just your classic rock sound, you know?
Yeah.
I guess that's what it is, right? So, you know, I mean, this is a conversation for a different day, Q. But I've become, I shouldn't say this on the Pantheon Network, Q. They might kick me off. But I have become a little bit, I don't know what the word is, but tired or burnt out on the 50 or so songs that the music industry has decided represents classic rock, you know? In other words, like,
right,
if you're out in public and you hear a classic rock song, it's going to be, you know, the 50 or so singles from, you know, the who's who of that era, you know what I mean?
Right. And the who's who includes the Who.
Yeah, well,
Zeppelin.
Well, I was going to say it includes the three singles from this album.
Yeah.
Or at least Show Me the Way. But yeah, it's, you know, I don't know why I brought that up, but this has that sound, but it's not one of those songs. So I enjoy listening to, I mean, maybe that's why we do the format that we do on this podcast, talk about the non-singles, because you're never going to hear those, you know?
Right. There's a lot of great songs that aren't represented.
Right.
In the mainstream. And I mean, that's the thing, like, is radio a dying industry, you know?
Yes.
Like, does that even mean anything to people?
No, but I mean, it's nowadays? It's still a thing when you're out and about at a restaurant or at a sports bar or something like that. You're gonna hear you're gonna hear fucking, you know, Back in Black, or you're gonna hear, you know, any other AC/DC song that I can't fucking stand. You take that out. Yeah. You take that out.
No, dude. We'll even it in because I'm with you on that, man.
But I'm just but here's the question that I have to ask myself. Do I not like AC/DC because I'm tired of hearing the same five songs and I've never dove into their other songs, their catalog? I mean, that's on me as a fan of music.
Right, and dude, here's what we should do. Let's fucking cover some AC/DC, man. Like, that's the challenge that we're placing on ourselves. as no filler.
Yeah, I'm down for that challenge, Q. And I'll tell you what. Let me tell you one thing here. There is an album. There's an AC/DC album that I fucking... There's a song in here called Baby Please Don't Go.
Mm-hmm.
It's from 74 Jailbreak. This is before they switched the singers. I don't even know their names. I'm not going to look it up.
Yeah.
But it's a great fucking song.
Angus Young.
No, Angus Young is a guitar player. I know that much.
Whoops.
anyway. So my point being, there is one AC/DC song that I do like that's not a single. At least I don't think it is.
Dude, which means that there's probably countless
exactly
that you would love.
Exactly.
Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah.
You know what I was thinking? We could do a whole month of that style of rock.
Classic rock.
We could do do AC/DC and ZZ Top as our two main.
Okay.
Fuck yeah, dude. I bet we could find countless ZZ Top songs that weren't singles that are fucking jam.
We could just do a month of how about this, dude? How about we challenge ourselves to pick the four, look at some of the four best selling records from that era, rock and roll records, right?
Okay.
And then talk about the non-singles. And then, you know, essentially we'll be reacting for the first time, I'm guessing, because we don't have much exposure to this stuff. Anyway, all right. That was a tangent. But
that's a tangent.
Anyway. Yeah, all right, Q. Let's get back to Frampton here. So what else you got for us, Q? You're the one who has this record at home, right? You've listened to this.
Yeah, and let me tell you this. It's really hard to pick songs on there's a lot of great songs on this record, so I'm trying to pick songs that will kind of represent his wide range and sounds as rock singer from the mid 70s. So I'm gonna play a song that's more, Frampton had a lot of great love songs, you know, the three singles, Show Me the Way, Baby I Love Your Way, and fucking, well, Do You Feel Like We Do is not necessarily a love song, but, you know, he has some great lovey-dovey songs. Sure. And I'm going to play another one that I really like. This is a few tracks down. It is called All I Want to Be Is By Your Side.
It's just another clown. Don't stand alone, you might turn to stone. I'm sure there is a feel for that. You're on your own. Can't you see what it's doing to me? All I want to be is by your on the ground. There's money in my pocket, I won't make a sound. But you can run me over, I'll pick a four-leaf clover. Now they cut the lights down, this record's going slower. Can't you see what it's doing to me? All I wanna be is by your side. If they cut my hair, all I want to be is by your side, yeah. All I want to be is by your side. Yeah, all I wanna be is by your side.
Yeah, it's nice to hear Frampton without his electric guitar, his Les Paul, you know?
Yeah. What I love about this song, this live recording, is when he cuts out his voice and, you know, points to the audience. And
yeah.
Seeing, dude, that's like just captures the, you know, what makes concerts so special, you know? Like, and it puts a smile on my face every time I hear that part, dude, when he lets the audience finish the verse.
I mean, there's people in the crowd that are into it, dude.
Yeah.
But that's what's interesting to me, like you said, is that he didn't have much commercial success before this record, but he clearly had a fan base.
Yeah, right.
Like a devoted fan base. They knew all the words. They went to the shows. They screamed the words, you know, out loud.
Yeah, dude.
When he pointed to them. I mean, yeah, so that's cool. Yeah, you know... I don't know if it's one of those things where all Frampton songs sort of, you know, it's you can tell immediately that it's Frampton because of his voice. So I'm right. Like, have I heard this song, or is it just because it's Frampton that I think I've heard the song?
Well, you got to think about it, dude. Like you said, this, like, our dad played this album a lot.
Well, then, I probably heard every one of these songs, man.
Well, I was going to say, like, it's not like he just skipped to the three singles on this record that you know.
Those are the only ones, like, I remember.
Right, but he played this album, you know? Like, I don't remember these songs from my childhood either.
They're
but,
just buried deep in my psyche then.
Right. Yeah, because, you know, along with Dad playing this record, the three songs that you heard the most just because they were played on the radio were the three singles, you know? But yeah, dude, I guarantee you that we heard this album all the way through multiple times growing up.
You're probably right.
Yeah. Yep. But hey, before we jump to our next pick, let's take a quick break. All right, so I'm going to play another song that's a little bit more rock and roll, you know?
Now, Q, I got to ask you. I hope the answer is yes. Does he use the vocoder on this song?
On this next one? No. He only uses the vocoder, or, you know, the talk box is what it's called. It's a talk box. He uses that on, what is it, Do You Feel Like We Do?
And Show Me the Way, too.
And Show Me, yeah. No, I don't think he does it on this one.
Well, that's a real bummer.
I'm sorry, dude. But hey, you know what? I'll intro us in with one of those tracks.
Okay, excellent.
All right, so... This is a few tracks down on the record. This one is called I'll Give You Money. We'll be right back.
Yeah, man, that guitar intro was fire, as they say.
As you fire. Say, I think you're the only one that says that.
Nah, plenty of people say that. It was, yeah, the song, that was a banger, dude.
Like you said, dude, this is just straight up 70s rock and roll, you know?
Right.
But, yeah, this is one of those records, I mean, that's what we preach on this goddamn...
What do we preach, Q?
...podcast, but we preach listening to it from start to finish.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know if this is the case with most live records, but it's interesting that they pieced this together from four different concerts.
Yeah, know? That is interesting.
But
I mean, I've seen that before. So, I mean, Metallica, one of Metallica's very famous live records was the same kind of thing, where it's multiple shows.
Yeah. Yeah, so they pieced this together in a way that it flows well, you know? It wasn't necessarily how the set list was, you know? So, but it's a great listen all the way through. It's got a really great, you know, flow to it. For every, you know, banger track like this one that's more like heavy with, you know, heavy on the guitar solos and the, you know, catchy riffs and whatever, there's an equal amount of like slow, you know, acoustic songs like All I Want to Be Is By Your Side. Yeah, dude, it's just one of those records, dude. I mean, it stands the test of time. It's won platinum by 2011, and it won 8 times.
It just makes you wonder why these songs didn't catch on when they were originally released. Like, what about this? Right? I mean, it must have been maybe, to your point earlier about the
album-oriented rock
station. That makes sense. Now it's all starting to click, because these songs probably just didn't have a station to be played on.
Yeah, and it was, I mean, think about it, dude. It was probably really exciting to hear a live recording of an artist on the radio, you know? Like, that was something that never happened before.
Yeah, maybe.
You know? And you know, like I said, you know, being able to hear...
He's Lucas Hare. He's Kerry Shale. And this is a trailer for Is It Rolling Bob? Talking Dylan. We talk to interesting people like author Neil Gaiman.
Dylan is always more omnipresent than you believe. Part 3 of American Gods is called This Moment of the Storm. And of course, it's A Hard Rain's Gonna Fall is another way of saying that.
Singer Billy Bragg.
I went to this Hammersmith Odeon with Chrissy Hynde. And she totally spoiled the whole evening for me by going backstage beforehand and coming and saying to me, you must come back and say hello to Bob afterwards. He'd love to meet you. So I spent the entire gig thinking to myself, what am I going to say to Bob Dylan that doesn't sound like, hello, Bob, I really like your records. So I ran away.
Actor David Morrissey.
Their stories, they are, or, you know, you sit there and you think, God, this is taking me on a journey, not just by each track, but each album is such a chapter in a life.
Singer Barb Junger.
And suddenly it's something in the song, you go, bing, you go, oh yeah, that's today. That's the reality of the quality of his understanding of humanity. Yeah. That kind of, that really relentless gaze.
The legendary Larry Ratso Sloman.
And that's when I talked to him about Sad Eyed Lady. And I said, you know, Bob, I always wondered, you know, in the chorus you say, my warehouse eyes, my Arabian drums. Do you mean eyes as a verb? Or is there a comma there? Is it two different images? And Sarah goes, yeah, I've always wondered that too. And Bob says, leave me alone, Rat.
Writer David Hepworth.
Honestly, the sweat was dripping off me because I was not getting very far. And you always think, I've got to get some quotes. I've got to get some lines or something. And you, of course, you can't get that out of Bob Dylan. It doesn't work like that. Mm. And the woman from the record company said to him, how's it going, Bob? And he says, I don't know. He keeps asking me questions.
And Dylan Authority, Michael Gray.
What he's doing there, Dylan, is he's breaking through the sort of oleaginous smear of coast-to-coast important American television. And he's busting through that and creating a live event, an authentic moment.
Is It Rolling Bob?
Talking Dylan.
His voice is really warm.
It's just that it ain't got no form.
But it's just like a dead man's last pistol shot, baby.